Welcome to today's panel discussion, One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, made possible by Accenture. Now your host, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller.
Welcome to our panel discussion today, One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, sponsored by Accenture. I'm Jason Miller, your host. I'm going to introduce our panelists in a few minutes, but first let me set some context to our discussion. Cloud computing, innovations, two concepts that are intrinsically linked in the federal government. The idea of agencies moving commodity technologies such as email collaboration to the cloud begets their ability to be more innovative with both commodity and mission-critical IT. The Obama administration has pushed the move to the cloud, and right behind it, data center consolidation using technologies such as virtualization, and it's been going on for about 2 years now. In fact, June, for those of you counting out there, was the 18-month anniversary of the 25-point IT reform plan the Office of Management and Budget issued in December 2010. Steve Van Roekel is the Federal Chief Information Officer. He said recently, cloud-first policy, which focused mainly on moving email systems to public service providers, saved the government about $100 million a year over the last few years. He said in total, agencies have moved more than 1 million mailboxes to the cloud. But cloud and innovation is more than just email. Agencies are on track to move more than 78 systems to the cloud by the end of the year, and many agencies are using those savings from things such as email to improve mission-critical systems. At DoD, for example, the Pentagon plans to reduce the number of data centers to less than 100 from more than 700. DoD also plans on building a private cloud and planning on using public cloud. And across the government, OMB has set a goal of consolidating at least 500 data centers by 2015. At the government printing office, they're going down the same path with cloud, playing a big role in how they do data center consolidation, but also in how GPO upgrades its network to use innovations such as voice over IP or the virtual desktop interface to make mobile computing much easier. But even with all this attention to the cloud, there are plenty of questions about how the technology works, and whether cloud computing is right for every agency in most circumstances. Innovation doesn't have to come from the cloud, and cloud doesn't always lead to innovation. But agencies need to figure out their own relationship between the cloud and innovation and to develop a clear path for both of them together and separately. So with all those facts and figures in mind, let me introduce our panelists today. Chuck Riddle is the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. David DeVries is the Defense Department's Deputy CIO for Information Management, Integration, and Technology. And Chris Smith is Accenture's Chief Technology and Innovation Officer. Gentlemen, welcome to the panel.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jason.
Great being here.
So cloud innovation, there's a lot going on. So let's start with some specifics. When we talk cloud, and this has been gone over, I think, a lot over the last few years, how has the importance of cloud computing really changed? And because it used to be kind of that OMB mandate, you will do this, the OMB used to shake their finger at, the big finger in the sky, I guess. But now there's more other reasons, technical reasons to move. Let me throw it to Chuck to start, and maybe we'll kind of go around for the first question.
Well, there's, by moving to the cloud, it really gives you so much more agility once you start looking at that, to be able to do things quicker and do things in a more scalable fashion. Whereas in the past, if you're doing things with your own data center, it takes a lot longer to get things deployed than it would in the cloud. So I think agencies are really wise to take a look at that, as Steve Van Roekel says, you know, cloud first whenever you're thinking about deploying something new.
And when you're talking about agility, are you talking about days, weeks, hours versus months and years, or just the type of technology that can be put together?
Agility just in the speed of deployment, however long that is. I definitely think that once agencies start to embrace that and look at that, it definitely speeds up the time to actually deploy applications.
All right, let me throw it over to David over at DoD. You guys are looking at the cloud both from a private cloud and a public cloud. Obviously, you have many different services, many different needs. How is the cloud kind of changing for how you guys see it from what it has over maybe the last year or two?
So I think it's important to set the stage here just a tad bit, in that the Department of Defense is quite large. So we're made up of four major services, the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps, that have been deploying IT, using it day to day, both in our home station environments as well as our deployed environments. It is quite large. Our endpoints number more than 3.5 million users at the edge. So for us to go to the cloud is a very important thing, and to do our consolidation of data centers. And this is an opportunity now for us to look at, how do I increase my mission agility, or my ability to share information securely with my mission partners, which includes our federal partners here, as well as improving the cybersecurity of our networks and for our information that goes across it, and then finally to realize some efficiencies and reduce our operating costs of operating the IT environment.
So, but for DoD specifically, you guys in many ways have been to the cloud before it was even called the cloud, managed services, ASPs.
Correct.
So how has the cloud changed, though, in terms of how you view it, how you use it, how you see it as such an integral part of the way you meet your mission?
So you're very correct in that. We haven't used the word cloud in the past couple of years before that time to connote our environment, even though what the cloud is today, we've been helping to pioneer a lot of that, especially in the scale and complexity that DoD represents. But it is now allowing us to converse and to share better with our federal partners and our other mission partners, because at the end of the day, it's how do we exchange our information throughout the government and with our mission partners securely. And it allows us to now, instead of creating stovepipe clouds, like say an Army, Air Force, and Navy cloud, we can now realize greater efficiencies in creating more of an enterprise cloud.
And Chris, is that really the key here? Is that the big difference between where we are now in the government and using cloud and where maybe they were 3, 5, 7, even 10 years ago? Is it that enterprise view?
Yeah, I think it's really all about transformation, right? If you think about what's been going on over the last 3 to 5 years, and I think Chuck and David hit it squarely on the head, it's about how do we better serve the citizen? How do we better execute the mission that we're about, whether it's the Department of Defense or it's in the government printing office or it's the Department of Homeland Security? We have, for the last 10, 15 years, been using technology. The question is, are we really fast at it, and are we really focused in on the business service delivery? And while we are, it has not been as simple as that. And the reality is, though, the technological environment has changed sufficiently that we're there now, right? And it's becoming mainstream. And the reality is, we're not sitting around, or we shouldn't be sitting around and talking with the business folks about data centers, right? We should be benchmarking ourselves. We should be running these in a sophisticated manner, doing the business of IT every day, and having conversations with the leadership on the business and program side about how do we better serve you? How do we better serve that citizen? How do we better execute this mission? So in my mind, it's really an evolution. We're perhaps a little bit behind commercial industry in consolidation, but it's occurring now through enterprise data centers. Done correctly, if we leverage cloud infrastructures, we can have that agility. We can have that increased security, better performance, lower cost, and really be in at the table day in and day out delivering value.
I mean, Chris, when you were at agriculture, you didn't just have coffee with your business people and talk data center consolidation. I mean, it's like almost as good as enterprise architecture. Do the eyes not want to glaze over that quickly?
Yeah, there was some drooling and eyes rolling back in the head. There's no doubt about it. And you still have to have that conversation every now and again. But if you're seen as running that part of the business very well, you're seen as a professional organization, that you can change that conversation very quickly to one more around service delivery and not about the utility that's under the cover there.
Is that the biggest difference, is that the conversation with the business folks, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but is that the biggest difference in where the technology is? It's a lot easier to have that conversation versus 3 or 5 or 7 years ago when there was the client server set up, or even before that, the mainframe set up. Any thoughts out there on that?
I definitely think overall, with IT becoming so mainstream and so critical to what people do in their day-to-day lives, it's easier to have that conversation now with the business leaders, because 5 to 10 years ago, people didn't necessarily understand some of the bits and bytes that they do now, because they use technology every day in a handheld pocket device, and they're understanding it more. So I think that they're starting to realize that more, and being able to utilize cloud technologies and get things done more quickly and not be the black hole of IT definitely helps those business leaders be more willing to sit down and talk with IT about how we help to enable the mission of getting things done.
All right, definitely. We're going to go back to your comment on black hole of IT. We're going to do that in section 2 when we really get kind of out of the technical stuff. But let me talk a little bit about cloud and talk about consolidation of data centers. Obviously, another big initiative. They're very interrelated, not necessarily one and the same. Virtualization. Are we moving beyond the data center consolidation benefits of your typical cost savings, of power savings? Is it now being translated into those mission areas? Let me start with David.
Yes, but I think it's important to go through the business process of this thing. When you're going, if you have a large number of data centers out there, which all of us do based upon our proportionality there, You don't just say, I'm going to take my 700, as you pointed out, from DoD, and say, I'm going to map them into 100. It's also about, first off, looking at what's inside there by business systems or by missions, rationalizing those applications and systems, and then virtualizing those that can be, that have gone through the rationalization process, and then finally moving them into the core data centers that you want to sustain, that you want to protect, that become the lifeline of your operations in.
So in many ways, what you kind of said there was, what do your data centers hold now? And if you have a data center that maybe has, and I'm kind of just using a simple example, but financial management data and procurement data and HR data, and then maybe you say, well, maybe we want to put all the financial data in one specific area. That's part of what was going on now. Is that because you have a better view of what's in those data centers?
You have a better view of what's in the data centers. And in the case of DoD, as I pointed out before, with our four major services that make up Department of Defense, each one over the years have been creating their own systems to account for their personnel, for their financial systems, and so forth. And again, across the department, the business area has been looking at, how do I integrate those? How do I centralize those things? And it's because of our size and our complexity, it's been a challenge. The cloud technology and the virtualization stuff is allowing us now to get away from detailing systems and replacement of systems by other systems to more of capabilities and services. And therefore, I can capitalize on reduced space inside data centers and reduce infrastructure there.
Let me switch over to Chris or Chuck. You guys, when you look at data center consolidation, where is the benefit starting to come up? Is it that application rationalization is really the killer app, for lack of a better word?
Without a doubt, I think that's along the path that everybody's got to take, and there's a huge amount of money there and a lot of agility that can be driven out of that when you get to the right number of applications that are delivering across the enterprise. But Jason, you start with, you know, is it about cost and sustainability, the green side of these things? And those are two important drivers. But I would add to that the economies of scale and skill, having the sharpest group of individuals doing this day in and day out. You get improved performance out of that. You get better continuity of operations and disaster recovery. And you have improved security. When we've got our energies focused around a lesser set of facilities out there, we can best secure these things as well. So that consolidation needs to happen. But at the same time, if we can leverage these technologies to get higher performance out of them, lower cost, and that quicker agility that we each keep talking about and hitting on, it's extraordinarily important. So that rationalization of the portfolio after you've got the consolidation going, again, I keep calling this an evolution, you ultimately end up in this truly transformed state where you're getting all those things we just talked about, but you're really unleashing this entrepreneurial spirit within the business and the IT organizations. You're really not focused anymore on commodity racking and stacking, which may take right now, you know, 3, 4, 5, 8 weeks, maybe even 3 months, depending on what you're doing. That's there. It's in place. You can provision it on the fly. And that means that you're in with the customer day in and day out and actually delivering good products, right? And iterating through that and getting it to a point exactly where, not where we came and talked to you and 6, 7 months later you showed up and showed us something that didn't even look like what we talked about, right? You're in with the customer day in and day out and getting the great products immediately.
Chuck, you were shaking your head a little bit there. Obviously, you guys at GPO are taking a path down toward data consolidation. What are you starting to see from your end?
Absolutely. I echo both of the points that have been made. You know, GPO has been around for 150 years. And talk about technology evolution. We've seen a ton of change. So, you know, I think one of the key things is that moving to a data center that's out in the cloud, so to speak, by itself is not good enough, because you definitely have to rationalize the applications, try to streamline things, because if you move, you know, the junk that you have into the cloud, you really haven't accomplished anything. All you've done is gotten it out of your back office. So I think you definitely need to look at trying to streamline and make things more efficient. And then the other key point too is to echo that the cloud, I think, has the potential to help get IT out of the back office and more at the conference room table with the business leaders, and focus on what we can do to help them get things done rather than taking 6 weeks to deploy a server and that sort of mindset.
And it's interesting you say if you just move your junk from one place to the other, you're not really accomplishing much. It's kind of like when you move houses or move apartments, or you end up cleaning out a lot more than you actually end up moving. Are you guys starting to find that? I know, David, as you guys are starting to do some data center consolidation, there's a rationalization of apps going on?
Correct. Absolutely.
Do you have an idea yet of is it you know 10% reduction, 30%, or is it still maybe too early because the data center consolidation is really still in the early stages?
It's still in the early stages, but some early returns from the Army, for example, as they've gone through what I would call localized rationalizations, they have noted anywhere from 20 to 30% reductions just from their first cut. And then when you look at them further and rationalize them to a greater degree, they can reduce it more then.
Okay. And Chris, real quick?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I mean, it is in that application rationalization. It's also the way you carry out that data center consolidation, right? We're going to see in the federal space the private cloud growing at a greater rate probably than public. But in parallel, you can get the advantages of the public cloud. And I think well thought out with a good strategy, you can get that transformation. But data center alone, you know, if you kind of go down the physical and then the rationalization, the virtualization kind of steps that go on, 15 to 35% in cost reduction. If you use a cloud-based infrastructure internally, you're talking probably two-thirds, 66%. Percent reduction and that quicker. So I think it does have to be very, very thoughtful, very visionary as it goes along. And that's where the biggest bang for the buck is.
All right, biggest bang for the buck. When we come back from break, we're going to get into that because that's what matters to the business people. You are listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, a panel discussion sponsored by Accenture.
Accenture, high performance delivered. It's how we help clients take on their most complex challenges. We helped process $650 billion in benefit payments for U.S. federal organizations. And we helped eliminate $348 million in U.S. federal fleet, inventory, and freight costs. With unmatched capabilities across defense, public safety, and civilian, Accenture consistently delivers results at speed. Accenture, high performance delivered. To learn more, visit Accenture.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, a panel discussion sponsored by Accenture. I'm Jason Miller, your host, and our guests today are Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer, David DeVries, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO for Information Enterprise, Integration, and Technology, and Chris Smith, Accenture's Federal Chief Technology and Innovation Officer. So in the first part of the discussion, we talked about cloud and how it's changed over the last 2 years, at least the perception of cloud and how it's used. But what's the key to this? And I want to go back to something that actually Chuck said very early on in the conversation, is how to get the business people to understand this so it's not just the black hole of IT. I thought that was a great expression. So let's start with the basics. How does the cloud, you know, when it comes from a mission, from a business standpoint, what's the connection between cloud and mission? Let me start with Chuck, since you made the great comment about the black hole of IT.
I think it has a lot to do with speed and agility to get things done. When I said black hole of IT, I think that in the past, there's maybe a perception from the business folks that it takes forever to get anything done in IT. And it always just seems like it takes longer than it's supposed to. So I think wherever we can help to do things more quickly, enable the businesses to get things done to do their mission, they view us as a contributor and enabler to helping get things done rather than an inhibitor and an obstacle to overcome. So I think cloud and you know, just generally doing things in a more modular approach with applications definitely helps to alleviate some of that that past history that IT might have had.
Well, it's interesting because there's a CIO out there who talks about, I can't be the CIO of no, right? CIO no. And I think that's very true because a lot of times, you know, especially around security, which I think we're going to address in a little bit, you still end up being, okay, well, I want to do this. Well, you can't, or well, let me see how it works. Chris, from your perspective, when you're at USDA, how did you kind of balance that not to be the CIO no all the time?
Yeah, being the house of no is just the absolutely wrong place to be, right? I mean, there's no credibility in that. You're not helping people achieve what they're setting out to do. So, you know, what we've got to get away from is IT being a cost center and really being seen as a strategic enabler. And the way you do that is by when somebody comes and asks you, hey, can you help me improve service delivery, help getting, you know, a financial grant out more quickly, or can you help me, you know, resolve an issue in the forests or in my local community? You don't want to say no. You want to say, yeah, let me tell you how I can help you get there. And you want to be very responsive to that. And what we're talking about you're making the infrastructure transparent. And you're really talking about what's the requirements that you have, and you're turning around very quickly and saying, hey, I heard what you said. I understand I'm a subject matter expert here with you at the table. I just happen to be very smart in getting new products to you to make that a reality, right? And so how do you turn around and get right back with them and say, here's what I heard. This is what we've come up with, and that iteration is extraordinarily important, because a lot of times people don't know exactly what they want. And the problem is, if you go away and you come back in 2 or 3 months, how valuable are you? And a lot of times you unveil something that didn't look anything like what had been talked about. So it's extremely important to be turning around and back and forth in that conversation. You really quickly get to a valuable product. And you know what happens is people start knocking on your door over and over again and say, hey, these guys knock down all the barriers and they help us achieve what we set out to achieve.
David, let me throw it over to you real quick, because you guys at DoD just put out an IT modernization roadmap. How are you making those decisions about what's right for the cloud versus what's maybe not appropriate for the cloud, and how are you working with, for instance, the business people or the warfighters?
Yeah, and that's a key point here. When we, in this panel here, talk about the business operations, for me, that's a two-sided coin. I have the business operations, the same standard ones you would have for accounting things and tracking of people and so forth. But more importantly, within the Department of Defense, I worry about that deployed piece, the commander on the ground. And of course, in the news, you read about our operations in Afghanistan and so forth. But there's a lot of missions that we do in support of humanitarian assistance and just daily operations throughout the states here and so forth, too, with the National Guard forces and our reserve forces. So it is about enabling those teams and units to accomplish their missions, too, here. And so we can't just be no. At the same time, we just can't be putting the bleeding edge out there without ensuring that we maintain the security aspects of it and that we can manage it throughout the pipeline there.
And then when you kind of make those decisions, for instance, I know DoD, for instance, has used the cloud a lot for the humanitarian stuff. That seems like maybe an obvious one. But what about when it gets to some of the other areas, whether it's a local area cloud or more of a wide area network type of cloud? How are those decisions kind of going up and down the chain?
So those are being rationalized as we go through the virtualization piece, and we're setting up the processes now to look at it. Because this is a change of culture, as we talked about. It is a change from moving away from placing our requirements for a capability, I wish I could do X, and still going through that. But now instead of satisfying that requirement with a system, we're thinking about it in terms of a service or a capability. And so this is not done overnight on a system-by-system basis. It's an evolutionary process, and it takes a lot more discussion. And it's a mindset change. So whereas I was thinking purely of the Army before, I now have to ratchet up a little bit and think about it in terms of a joint perspective that covers the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and Marine Corps.
So Chuck, let me throw it over to you, because you have a very interesting mission in the sense that you guys are a very public agency, the printing office, and obviously printing's taken a different meaning over the years, but you also have a very classified piece of your work in terms of the efforts you guys do around printing secure identity cards or secure documents. How are you making those decisions as the CIO about what goes to the cloud, whether it's a private cloud or what's maybe stays in house and doesn't go to a cloud at all?
Right. Well, you're certainly correct. GPO has a very varied mission because we produce the U.S. passports for the State Department, and we also support all three branches of government, specifically Congress. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things where you have to have a blueprint, have a plan for how you're going to segment things and how you're going to do things in the most efficient manner while making sure it's as secure as it needs to be. So, you know, all things are not created equal as far as just blanketly moving things out there. There are some things that I don't think ever go to the cloud. But that's where you definitely have to look at your overall plan and make sure that you're not, again, just moving things for the sake of moving with the idea that you're just going to save money. Because it's not, at the end of the day, it's not just about saving money. Because if you jeopardize security or you jeopardize the ability to get things done, you really haven't saved anything.
I thought you were going to say it. I thought you were going to say the word enterprise architecture. You were so close. I felt it on the tip of your tongue.
I was trying not to. Yeah.
Chris, help me out here.
Yeah.
How does the enterprise architecture, and we're not going to bore people with the whole idea of going into details, but how does that really does play a role in the planning? Because as Chuck said, some things may never go to the cloud and other things are perfect for the cloud.
Right. So, I mean, sometimes we can be hyperbolic, right, in the IT world.
And
it's, no, it's not
wait a minute,
mystical.
Wait a minute.
It's not silver bullets.
Right in the IT world?
You think so?
Oh, my goodness.
you really, and I think we've been talking about it, and my colleagues here at the table have been saying it. It's got to be thoughtful. There's got to be due diligence. You've got to have a clear vision and a strategy and then a roadmap to execute. And that's, again, where I, really in the federal space, we're going to see this kind of dual path where private clouds are going to continue to proliferate, and you're going to get all the value out of that, and there are things that should go there. Public clouds, there are opportunities in which certain part of the workload should go out there. So having a good diagnostic that takes those values, and they differ by mission, right? If we're talking about health and human service, the privacy aspects around a patient's information and their interactions with a doctor, or we're talking about Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Patrol, or we're talking about the State Department and Consular Affairs. I mean, you can pick the mission. Everybody's got to have that view. They are the experts in what they do, and they've got a responsibility to the citizen of the nation. So you've got to take that framework and be very thoughtful about it, but the value is there, right?
So let's say you make those decisions. Chuck, you made the decision, you looked at your mission areas, your lines of business, and said, we think this section over here can go to the cloud, but this section will never go to the cloud. Then you bring in the non-IT people, the business people. Obviously, they're probably at the table with you when you're making that decision, or is that something from a CIO perspective, from a security perspective, you kind of have an idea when you walk in, and then maybe they can change your mind or not?
I think that's one of the jobs as a CIO, is to be able to translate the technical into the business and help them understand why what you're doing and what you're proposing is a good thing and how it helps them to get their work done. And they understand terms like risk and being able to support whatever we're doing. So I think you're essentially, as a CIO, sort of a liaison to translate and make it understandable to them in terms that make sense to what they do. And I don't think that's a terribly difficult thing to do. I think people understand IT more than they used to. And I think if you can put it in terms of cost and risk, it's understandable.
So I think that's what it's coming back to, is that cost and risk, because of what you hear from OMB and even some other agencies and the experts in the world say, well, can you manage the cost and manage the risk at the same time? And which shifts me over to DOD. And David, when you guys talk about moving functions to the cloud, when you bring in the non-IT people, the business people, the warfighting group, how do you explain to them why this makes sense to move to a private cloud versus a public cloud versus keep it totally in-house and not put it in a cloud at all?
So again, that's a very operational discussion there that focuses on, first off, the mission. And that is, again, as I described before, both from a business side and from the operational boots on the ground, so to speak. And then it's about the security side. If you focus on that, you can then begin to blueprint out the best way to go with this thing. The cost factor really doesn't come in the very frontline discussion. It's about the effectiveness for the mission and then the security piece to maintain integrity over the overall mission, but also the information that's going to be stored and ultimately exchanged, because that's why you're going to the cloud.
And as you said, it's a frontline decision. So from where you sit, maybe in the policy side, you also have to come up with policies to make those decisions easier, or is this something that you from a policy standpoint, you keep it at a high level with some standards and here's what the expectations and how you manage risk?
It's really about setting up the risk parameters and how you manage risk, but then laying out the parameters left and right that they can do the discussions there. Now, we have it built within the services and within the overall department there to look at things in an aggregate. So the more I combine things, the higher level up that decision is made for that. So we make decisions at echelon for some of those lower systems to go to the cloud.
Chris? Go ahead, David. Yes. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Chris?
I think there's two sides to this, right? There's the business of IT. So we've got chief information officers who are responsible for large budgets that should be practicing their art and their science in the way that's expected, that accountability. And people are out there doing that. They're doing it every day. They've got the right best practices from an ITIL perspective, IT service management, IT business management. They're benchmarking themselves. They're carrying out this evolution. On the business side, the program side, there should be a very clear conversation. If you're sitting around and talking about data centers with the business side, or somebody's got a 10,000-mile screwdriver, reaching back into the data center trying to you're having the wrong conversations, right? The business should be very clear and articulate in where they want to go. The IT organization should be coupled up with them and delivering that. And that's what we're really talking about, is the world is changing from having these back-end exposures and really talking about brokering services, right? And the services are getting more and more sophisticated as we go along. And I think we're going to talk about that probably in a little bit. But the side effects of having an agile platform are extraordinary. We can focus in on new products and services. You still got to carry out the legacy business, and you got to rationalize that as you go forward. But that's where it really becomes transformational. If you're really talking about the services somebody needs to execute their job, no matter what the mission is, then you've come a long way.
Chuck, let me go back something, because to build off of what Chris was saying, you mentioned that there's maybe a better understanding from the business folks about IT, the role IT plays, where one time maybe IT was looked at as the people who worked in the closet or something. But now with everyone, the smartphone revolution and the tablets and everyone, you know, having a email account in the cloud, whether it's Google or Yahoo or Microsoft or whomever, do you think that's why this conversation is getting easier, or at least there's a level, more of a level playing field?
Well, the consumerization of IT has definitely played a part in that, because people are much more familiar with it on a daily basis. So I think that there's a certain amount of expectation that that brings, because IT has to evolve or get out of the way. And they realize that, you know, they might host their own personal website out there, and they find out that they can turn that up in 10 minutes with a private provider, and they wonder why it takes 3 months from IT to get the same thing done. So I think just the general education of business leaders out there about IT has increased dramatically, and government IT organizations have to modernize to stay, you know, up with that. And I love the term that Chris said too about a services broker. That really is what IT should be, and I think cloud helps to enable us to do that.
One thing that we've kind of touched upon a little bit is the idea of security. Is the security conversation getting easier now because, again, the consumerization of IT, the popularity of cybersecurity, it's in the everyday press. I remember writing a story a number of years ago, and cybersecurity was still very much a inside baseball story. And now you see it in every, you know, 60 Minutes to, you know, NBC News to whomever are covering cyber attacks. Any thoughts on that?
Chris. Yeah, it goes without saying, you cannot turn around anywhere on the globe at this point and not run into a cybersecurity vulnerability or attack that's occurred. I mean, how many millions of people in the past couple of weeks on a major social networking site focused on business, right? I mean, it's happening. You've got to build it in. But it goes back to that. If you're sitting around talking about security and saying no to folks, then you're not in the right place. You've got to manage that. You've got to build it in. You've got to be thoughtful. Some of the old paradigms are not as useful as they were. While we were looking outward and we had defense in depth, you've got to be looking inward now and what's perhaps being exfiltrated from your network. So we know what we need to be doing on that front. It's going to be a tough battle and a long battle. The cloud does not make you any less secure. The question is that due diligence, that thoughtfulness, you've got to apply that. And again, it's not mystical. It's not a black box. You've got to have some of the opaqueness of the cloud that we talk about has its benefits. But if you're running an enterprise, you better have your service level agreements there. You better be able to see that information. You better be monitoring that continuously, because now that's a part of your overall enterprise. And if you're doing public and private and hybrid, it's becoming a little more complex. But with the right planning, and the right execution. And the last thing I'll say on that front is everything doesn't need the same level of security. And you may not get some of the benefits of a cloud-based infrastructure if you put too many security constraints around it. That's where your private cloud should probably be doing that. And that goes into that decision-making, that diagnostic, running your applications through a set of values and criteria that make sure you pick the right place. Because if you build a Fort Knox out in a public cloud, you'd have to ask yourself what you're doing, because you just lost a bunch of the value that you're going to get out of it. So focused internally on the security aspects is an important factor.
And David, real quick, about 30 seconds before the end of the segment, I just want to get your thoughts from a security standpoint and talking to the generals and the leaders of DOD. Is security a lot easier to talk about now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't start a conversation without considering that to be part of your mission discussion there. So it is woven into everything that we look at there. But again, as Chris pointed out, you have to take that risk with the risk management perspective. Not everything has to be protected to the same degree. And so that's where the discussions come at. What is my information? What is my mission? What level of security do I need to have for this thing, depending upon the environment that I operate in?
All right, very well, because this bodes well for our next segment, which we're going to talk all about innovation, and that risk management piece is a big part of that innovation discussion. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, a panel discussion sponsored by Accenture.
Accenture, high performance delivered. It's how we help clients take on their most complex challenges. We consolidated more than 100 defense financial systems into one,
And we helped eliminate $348 million in U.S. federal fleet, inventory, and freight costs. As a partner with both defense and industry knowledge, Accenture is uniquely equipped to help you accomplish your missions. Accenture, high performance delivered. To learn more, visit accenture.com/federal.
Welcome back. You're listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, a panel discussion sponsored by Accenture. I'm Jason Miller, your host. Our guests today are Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer, David DeVries, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO for Information Enterprise, and Chris Smith, Accenture's Federal Chief Technology and Innovation Officer. Now, before break, we talked a little bit about the cloud, the discussion with the business leaders, how to make that discussion easier. And now I think part of that discussion is the idea of how does cloud and data center consolidation to maybe a smaller extent help or lead to those innovative ideas. For instance, if a business leader comes to Chuck and says, Chuck, I have this great idea. I want to do this, and whatever this is, next widget. You can say, well, because of the cloud, I can make things easier. I can get that quicker. You talked about agility a lot. So are those two together, meaning are they brother and sister, cloud and innovation, or are they more like cousins where there's a relationship, but obviously one and the other don't always match up? Let me start with Chuck.
Sure. I'm not sure what family relationship they relate to, but they're definitely related in some way, shape, or term. Cloud is just another way where technology helps to get things done and enable the mission, I guess, from the government perspective. I think longer term, you know, getting folks out of the IT back office that were worried about power and cooling and all those sorts of things, and having those folks transition to focus on services and capabilities long term for government, I think there's a lot of potential for that in spurring future innovation, because then you're focusing on different things than you might have been focused on in the past and not just worried about the back office, so to speak.
But at the same time, as you talked about a couple times earlier, If someone comes to you and needs something done, mm-hmm. you can make that turnaround much quicker, and that leads to innovation, or depends on what it is?
I think it can certainly lead to innovation, and I think it can help build trust with IT and the business so that they come to you and they see you get things done for them, they're going to come back again.
Right.
Whereas if you're slow and can't respond to them, they probably won't.
Which is kind of what Chris was saying earlier as well. Now, Chris, at USDA, when you guys moved email to the cloud, did innovation kind of grow from that, maybe unexpectedly?
I think it was the broader transformation that we've all been talking about, is that if you've got these things in motion and you've got that ability to quickly iterate or innovate, it's a really different conversation, because the business leaders who come in with a problem, you're discussing about how can you solve it, and you're not having any conversation about a timeline to do that, right? Or if it is about a timeline and cost, it's very de minimis. So you're really taking in requirements and you're turning around saying, hey, we think we could do X, Y, and Z. You go back and you end up brokering those services, and you turn around within a week or two, you're having a conversation about, hey, here's what it's beginning to look like. Do you like this? If you don't like it, then we're going to adjust course here a little bit. And that is a really different discussion. It's really exciting. It gets the business excited, the IT staff's morale is high, and everybody's generating value. That's what innovation, in my mind, about is taking an idea, looking at it perhaps slightly differently, applying a set of tools in the toolkit or in the arsenal, depending on what your mission is, and then iterating right up and delivering it. It really is. It's dynamic and it's exciting.
And many times that innovation is not necessarily a huge big step, but as you said, maybe it's just because of the agile modular type of contracting. You can say, right. Well, is this what you're thinking? No, actually, I was thinking more of this.
Right. It's very incremental and iterative. And that's where people kind of get that entrepreneurial spirit going, the innovation, the creativity, because people see things and it's slightly different than what I was thinking. Let's try this. And it's not costly, right? And it's not slow. You really have that. We keep saying agility, but that's what it's about, because people are delivering on what they set out to achieve. And that's solving a business problem. No matter what your mission is, you're solving the business problem.
Versus when you try to, if you will, eat the elephant in one big bite, you don't get that kind of piece by piece. You, at the, you know, three quarters into it and $1 billion in, you say,
right, the 3-year multi-$100 million, that's not what I thought I was getting, right? And some of that is, there are still long tails on some of these things. I mean, we're talking about high transaction volumes. There are still places, but you can deliver functionality in shorter increments. We've been talking about that for a number of years now, right? It's showing that value as you go along. But there are still very large scale. I mean, when we're talking about large-scale mission systems, there's going to be a longer tail to that. But you can also create and innovate in that.
Well, even back-office systems, procurement, financial management, you can do a piece at a time and find value.
And, well, and we're innovation. We're seeing that in the cloud as well, though. Can we pre-configure 90% of the solution on a back-end system for procurement, for financials? And the reality is that it's there. I would just say there are certain things in the legacy environment that are going to take longer and not going to get perhaps as much benefit, but there are certainly across the enterprise opportunities.
And David, let me switch over to you when we talk innovation, when we talk cloud's perspective. One of the things I've heard from several different CIOs within the services and from Mr. Kai, the DoD CIO, is about how the soldiers, the warfighters, are really bringing in that innovation. They're in the field. They put something together with some, you know, gum and paper clips, and they are doing something to that innovates. But that's not necessarily related to the cloud, but does the cloud play a role in helping them make that innovation happen?
Absolutely. So, but let's take a step back a minute. The cloud is made up of two things, I think. One is what I would call the basic infrastructure. And I really don't want the business person to worry about that. But I have to know what his requirements are, what his innovative requirements are, to make sure I have enough infrastructure there to support him in his different environments and wherever he has to reach with it. So if you take the warfighter, for example, we put sufficient capability in there so that where he's on the ground, the infrastructure should be there that he needs to have it. Now we're using his or her familiarity with the latest technology and so forth to help innovate in how I collect the data or the information and share it there. And that's where the cloud infrastructure helps us with that. So it really comes down to think about, not in terms of systems, I keep saying that, but it's more about the data or the information that I want to collect, share, store, ultimately securely share it with other folks.
And that actually it's a great segue, because Chuck, when we talked a number of months ago and we talked about the virtual desktop interface that you guys are putting together and how that's actually going to lead to mobility, improved mobility, is that, and but the cloud is the key piece to that in many ways as well, because without the cloud or the virtualization in the desk in the data center, you can't have a virtual desktop and therefore you can't be as mobile. Do you see it that way, or is it each piece kind of plays its own role?
I don't see it entirely that way. I mean, we can do the virtual desktop, you know, in our own data center and deliver that functionality out there to our users. You know, really, from that, the goal is, I think, sort of aligns with the cloud approach, is it's all about information. It's all about getting it out there and making it transparent to the end user, to the business. And, you know, I think that moving things to the cloud forces entities to look at the big picture and not rely on how they've always done it. And before you move something to the cloud, you have to have a plan for it. You have to put together service level agreements. You have to understand what you're moving out there so that you know, you can manage it. So I think it's helping to force businesses to look at what they're moving and to make it more efficient before they move it. So I think there's value in that alone.
It's interesting that the idea of data had come up a couple of times. I think, David, you brought up the idea of it's more about the data, but do you find with cloud you get data overload and the idea of managing big data becomes more difficult?
But I think the opportunity exists here to begin looking at what the data is and then to come up with management schemes for it, as well as how do I make better use of the data that I do have out there. So right now, today, with the legacy systems, you might find that I may have several human resource systems that are collecting similar types of data. Well, I'm paying for that and trying to manage those different stores of data. If I put it into a cloud where I know what the data is, I can have different applications that consume that, share to it, and provide to it. I've got great reduction in just my storage, and now I can probably do better analytics with that data and provide better business sense back to the leadership.
Chris?
So I think this, we're on it. We're pulling the right thread here, right? It's about information, but it's got to be context based, right? So if it's a citizen who's looking to interact with the local government, state or federal, are they getting the information they need in a rapid manner? Can they then maybe step up, which it may be anonymous and it needs to be anonymous, right? Using the best pieces of the internet, some of the best characteristics of the internet to, I want to now carry out a transaction. I want to register my car with the DMV, or I want to place my tax return in an automated manner. And so you're going to step up a level. So that identity and access management that provides this. But let's come back to the information. If it's a soldier, an airman, a Marine out there who's executing a mission in the field, having just the right information and from the right sensors to execute without overloading is extraordinarily important. If it's a constituent group interested in something and pushing their view with Congress or with the administration, it's all about what that individual or group of individuals wants to do and how do we serve that information. And the reality is, by having these agile infrastructures, we're able to do that, right? So we actually get a much more mobile citizenry. We get a much more mobile nation. So there's a lot of side effects that we're talking about from becoming agile, and it's a lot more innovative. You get what you want, where you want it, and what channel you want it. It's done in a secure manner, and where people have some issues around it, and rightfully so, privacy concerns. Let's not kick that up a notch until they're in a transaction or some sort of claim with a group, and then they can choose on their own doing, or they could walk into an office if they wanted to. And so that means that we're going to have more and more information we've got to deal with. So I would just end with that big data really is an issue. If you're going into a cloud, you have big data. If you have a private and a public cloud, you already have heterogeneous information, right? A variety of information that you're going to have to apply now, this new paradigm, this new framework, and that's big data. That is exactly what big data is about. Not necessarily volumes, which it can be, or variety or velocity, but it's some amount of each one of those things where we do have to look at that in a different way so that we can analyze it and we can get information to people that they want, or we can more efficiently deliver our mission.
And one of the things you also brought up during that discussion was the idea of identity management, access control. That is obviously something that I've heard many times. It actually becomes easier with the cloud to both rationalize the Active Directory, but also to implement. Chuck, are you guys starting to go down a path where you're looking at access management control as it relates to the cloud?
I think our goal first is to just simplify and get away from the stovepiped architectures that in the past were so duplicative and just difficult to manage. Moving to the cloud affords us the opportunity to really look hard at that and simplify before we move. And I think as it relates to identity and access management, that's key because you want to have information in as few places as possible and leverage that information as many times as possible. So I think that's where our focus has been, is just to try to simplify things first and then look towards moving.
And David, from a DoD perspective, you guys actually are way ahead of the curve when it comes to identity management, access control. You guys already have the requirement to log on using PKI, the CAT card. How's that going to integrate with cloud? Obviously, it has to from your perspective.
Absolutely. But I would go one step further. The identity management piece is the critical first step. Because if you don't have a centralized place of how you do your identity, then how do you build your access to the cloud or to applications? So if you think about it, if I go online today at home and I want to get, say, for example, a Google Mail account, I type in my name and I say, I'd like to have a Google Mail. So I provided my own identity. I could turn around tomorrow, create yet one more account and call it something else. And so it is critical from a business sense that we know who's accessing the network and who's accessing the information so that they get the right information at the right point in time. And that's where we put the efforts on several years ago to come up with a centralized identification system and then enable that to be used, consumed by the applications and the systems. And now that we're going into the cloud base, we're consolidating those systems and thinking more of it as a cloud-based architecture.
And Chris?
Yeah, I just think this whole concept of a digital persona is where we need to go, and that it's centered on the individual, and then they've got the control. So they're in control in their interactions. Now, obviously, when you're in a business environment, you're an employee of that business, or you're a federal employee within a certain government, any government agency, there's going to be a different control factor, but there's no reason that we can't have those things together in one, and that the thresholding is there if we need two-factor from a CAC standpoint or a HSPD-12 card, we can have that. If we need to go up the next level for biometrics, we can do that. The technology is certain there. I think we have some policy issues to get through and over, and there are some real privacy concerns when you start to do something like that, but I think that's where if you put the citizen back in charge of that and they choose what they're sharing when, then they can carry out everything in their personal lives, in their interactions with the government, and also in their business lives. So I think it's a really exciting time, and both my colleagues are dead on, is that you got to bake that in or have it in the sauce up front, right? Or you're missing this, because all of a sudden you've got public and private things going on. You got to be able to move seamlessly through that. That's where folks are going to be happy. They're going to like what's going on.
And we're just about out of time before we wrap up. I did want to give everyone a chance. When you're talking about cloud and data center consolidation and big data and identity control and access management, what's coming up? Where do you see, if you look in your crystal ball over the next 2 or 3 years, what do you think's coming? What do you think's the big change is going to happen? I think I started with Chuck in the beginning, so I'm going to make Chuck go last this time. So let me start with David.
So I think as we go through the process of looking at our applications and our systems, I think we're going to come up with better and innovative ways of taking legacy systems that took years to build and now take a lot of money and effort to sustain, and how do I better transition those to more lightweight applications that ride across the cloud and still deliver the same capability that these numerous legacy stovepipe systems provide today.
And Chris?
I think we're going to see an unparalleled period of creativity and innovation and uptick in productivity that has just never been seen before. And really, it's going to be about who are the organizations, the chief information officers that understand that this is going to a brokerage service world, and that they're really going to be in the business of orchestrating a very agile set of technology that's going to change over time to get us there.
And finally, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree with both my colleagues here. I think that the cloud and those sorts of capabilities are only going to become more mainstream, and the pace of change and movement towards that is only going to increase. So I like what David said about forcing things to become more lightweight and more available out there. I definitely think in the next few years you're going to see a lot more lightweight applications and uses of data that you never dreamed of today done as a result of moving to these things.
All right, if those predictions all come true, we'll have you back on, and we'll talk about them in a couple years, hopefully before then. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for our discussion. You've been listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, a panel discussion sponsored by Accenture. I'm Jason Miller. I'm your host, and our guests today were Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer, David DeVries, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO for Information Enterprise, and Chris Smith, Accenture's Federal Chief Technology and Innovation Officer. You can listen to this discussion anytime on federalnewsradio.com.
Accenture, high performance delivered. It's how we help clients take on their most complex challenges. We help manage the world's largest biometric systems to protect U.S. citizens. And we help more than 20,000 U.S. communities better respond to natural disasters. As a partner with both public and private industry knowledge, Accenture brings unique insights to help federal organizations in their efforts to protect citizens at home and abroad. Accenture. High performance delivered. To learn more, visit Accenture.com/federal.
Thank you for listening to One Step to the Cloud, Two Steps Toward Innovation, made possible by Accenture on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.